Amateur Presentation.
Anne, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me, and congratulations on the film. I actually don't know really where to start because I think there's so much to talk about, but I wanted to ask you, and I know this is a very blunt way to ask a conversation or start a conversation like this, but do you think about mortality differently from when you started Can I Get a Witness to after having made the film?
Wow. You know, I think a lot of my films have dealt with the subject of mortality. So this isn't the first time. Maybe this is the one that it's so up front and center as a thought experiment that I'm asking everybody to think about it. When I started the film, like, let me just say, when I started this story, it was 2006. I was in Vancouver. I was in the West End. There was that big windstorm. Like 10,000 trees blew down. The king tides were wiping out the seawall. Like, climate was on my mind. And so was the government. You know, on the radio, was hearing that they wanted to move CPP up from 65 to 67. We had this this rushing wave of an aging population, and we didn't know what to do with it. Could we continue to provide the same services? And I was inspired by the work of Jonathan Swift, who suggested back in the day that the Irish during the potato famine eat their children, in an essay called A Modest Proposal, that could solve the population problem and give them some protein. And it was meant to be a farce, but people got very angry. It did engender conversation. Rules were changed, and it brought a focus to this issue of what British landowners were doing in Ireland. So it started off like 50, that's crazy, you know, like what are we willing to do for each other? Okay, maybe we don't all want to die at 50. Surely there's other things, because to have the world that we say we want to live in is going to take some sacrifice. So, you know, years go by, over a dozen years go by, suddenly we have COVID, we have MAID, you know, we have MAID in Canada. It's a big conversation about ethical conversation about what's going to happen with that in other countries. Kitchen table, what are we willing to do for each other? And what are we willing to do for future generations? And also in my life, so many people passing, people my age, younger, you know, my parents' generation, death. And so the film, the story, the themes becomes more and more tender, really. It just becomes more tender. And so when I look at the film and I look at the way that we talk about death in the film, and the acceptance of, and the choices made, and the kindness and the compassion and the ability to see it, I actually feel good. I feel better. I feel better than how I feel in my life. When I look around, there's sadness. But when I look at the film, I feel okay.
There's a feeling in this movie where it's like you can have a conversation about it and feel any way you want to about death and about loss. You mentioning the tenderness, was that something that was always there in the script, or was that something that evolved over time when you were writing it?
Well, my actors tell me it was always there. But they imbued so much when they came, and in the moment, like, it really was, it was an evolving process, you know, the landscape, the weather, the people, it just was layer and layer of a push to tell the story in this way.
When you're writing, where do you start? Because every writer director I've ever talked to always has a different entry point, whether it be the themes or the world building or the perspective of the character or the plot. And I'm really curious, because you have so much going on in terms of the world building, and it feels so thought out and real, but it never gets bogged down in exposition either. It feels like the characters are living their lives the best that they can in the situation.
Well, I always insert myself into the story somehow. So, of course, this is a high concept film for me. It starts off with the themes, climate, humans, the world, how do we live? How do we think? I was up in Powell River at teaching at this digital film school with high school kids, and I was just so impressed and intimidated and scared by who they were, what they were going through, how they thought, how they expressed things. And I really wanted my central character to be this young woman, this teenager who was grappling with the biggest issues, but she's also still a teenager who's having like issues with her mom. Bad timing to have issues with your mom, but there you are. You just are who you are, where you are. And I definitely thought back to, you know, I know that things have changed a lot, but that I do think we've got the same hardware. And I drew a lot from when I was a teenager and how I was and what I did and all the losses that I suffered at that time. And so it was very, yeah, it's a fantasy, and the relationship with the mother-daughter, you know, like I know that Sandra Oh, who plays Ellie, was saying that really she thought of this as a fantasy mother. She was just, I thought that, yeah, the relationships are real because you know, they all come from real life.
Absolutely. And that's where those experiences come from. And there's something I was really taken by in the film, and Daniel talks about it. He expresses enthusiasm for previous generations explaining things and passing down their knowledge to the next. Is there something in your life that you've retained from family or generations past that still resonates with you?
Well, you know, I think one of the most important people in my life was my grandmother, and I was lucky enough to have her till I was in my mid-20s, you know, when she died suddenly. And she reappears in so many different films of mine. But then in this film, there is no other generation. You know, like everything stops at 50. There is no transgenerational passing on of knowledge. And, you know, when there's no... what is there? You know, there's no digital. We put all our libraries into the digital world, and now the digital world doesn't exist. Like, how do we continue to build on our collective civilization? It's a question. Like, where are the elders?
Yeah, it that's something else I was curious about, because there's an element of this movie where I'm still thinking about it. If it's pessimistic or optimistic, because there are aspects of it where, you know, it seems positive, but even like the simple thing of not being able to travel anymore, that's something that feels like such a loss for a younger generation, not to have those experiences in life. How do you see the film in terms of that, the messages that it's giving, but also what do you want people to take away from the experience of having watched the film?
The film is very open. And I don't expect anybody to agree with everything in this world that I've created, but I wanted to create space for discussion and for disagreement and for strategizing. Like, what are we willing to do? And of course, like any film, like any story, you see it with what you bring to it. Like, your point of view is very specific, I have my Henry Fleming thinks a certain way, but I hope that I don't have that in my films. My films are spaces for play and for thought. And I think, like, literally there's time for thought in this film.
Yeah, there's that element of there's no wrong way to look at things and no judgment based on the characters that are having these conversations about life. And I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me about the film. Congratulations again.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for profiling the film. I really appreciate it.
No worries. Yeah, it's honestly like you talking about your grandmother. My grandfather passed a couple years ago, and it had such an impact. And it's not something right away that you feel. It's something that you know, in little moments in life that I feel like they come up. And that kind of spoke to me in this film, where like you really don't understand what you lose until it's gone.
Until it's gone. It's like that Joni Mitchell song.
Yeah, yeah. It really is.
Until it's gone. It really is. And it's just like, there it goes. You thought you had an extra moment, but you didn't.
Well, even when, when Ellie says, like, say I love you to it's for Kia to say that back to her. It's like she's almost doing that sort of like later on in life. Maybe she'll regret it and not having said it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That is right.
Well, anyways, thank you so much. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you.